Jerry Olcas is a jack of all trades. Ask him to paint your house and he'll whip out the tools to do so. Ask him to give you a hair transplant and he'll bring you to his clinic. Over his life, he's changed occupations more than most people. But for what reason?
I had gone to school to become a machinist when I was 19. The government had a sponsored training program. It was called an OJT, on-the-job training program. And it was a very fascinating thing. I learned how to use every type of manufacturing piece of machinery there was. Lathes and bores and, you know, you name it. I learned how to set it up and run them and make jet engine parts. I was only 20 or so, and I just hated being in the factory. It was dirty. It was cold in the winter. It was hot in the summer. It wasn't glamorous at all, and I wanted to, you know, have a life. And plus, I had to work night work, so I quit, and I was living at my mother's house. One day, I was sitting on the step. I was out of work, and this guy came down the street pulling a little red flyer wagon with a 32-foot wooden ladder on it and two cans of paint, and he was walking down the street looking up at the cornice work, which is the metal work on the front of row houses. Yes, he thought I owned the house. He asked me if I wanted the cornice painted.
This man only charged $10 for each house and was able to finish one in about 20 minutes. He would go up and down the block and ask every person in every house and was able to make about $20 an hour in 1967. That was unheard of. Jerry called him over when he finished the block and asked him if he wanted a partner. Partner with a car. They could go to other neighborhoods where there was more money. They could raise the price for each house up to $20.
We got busy, we got business, and man, we were just knocking it. But this guy, the very next day, he didn't show up for work. And wouldn't answer the door. I saw the wagon with the ladder, so then he shows up on the fourth day and says, let's go. We go down. We made $300-$400 that day. And the next day, you don't get up, you don't show up. I said to myself, what do I need him for? So I went out and bought myself a brand new 32-foot aluminum ladder. And I expanded the colors from brown and green, which was, believe it or not, the most popular colors that row houses were painted. And I expanded it to white and silver. And I could paint a cornice end to end in 20 minutes. So I started by myself in South Philly, knocking on doors. And, you know, I would work from the minute the sun came up until dinner time. And, you know, I was making anywhere between $200 and $300 a day. And the machinist job that I had only paid about $125 a week for 40 hours work. So I said, I'm never going back to being a machinist again, that's for sure.
Yeah, of course not.
So as I was knocking on doors and painting the cornices, I was everywhere in South Philly. People started asking me, well, can you paint a door? Can you paint the back windows? Can you do this and paint this and paint that? And I said, you know what, this is a little beyond my knowledge. You know, I really didn't know how to professionally paint. So as it turns out, there was a professional painter who lived around the corner from my mother. And he was about 14 years older than me. And I went and talked to him. He was at work. So I brought him out with me and we started painting whole houses. Make a long story short, the following year, I had 25 people working for me, and I started mainly focusing on Center City. I was designing restaurants and doing house additions and remodeling homes, and the economy changed, and the business started going down, and I needed something else to do because I had kids to raise, so I had to keep looking. I always look, I still do, and I'm successful now, but I still look.
He found his way into the waste oil business after this. He was largely successful for a while until the government implemented strict regulations and insurance policies that made the cost too high to keep running the business.
I sold it in 1992, and since I had plenty of money, I pretty much took a couple of maybe 2.5 years off and spent it on my boat and was bored, and I was looking for something to do, and I wanted something weird and challenging. And I happened to be reading the one ads, and I found the one ad for a consultant for hair restoration. So I was curious, and I called it up. It was a young doctor who was looking to build a practice, so we met, and we liked each other, and I said to him, well, if you teach me everything you do, I'll build the business side of the practice. And that worked out real good. We became, in the Philadelphia area anyway, the most popular hair transplant clinic, period. And then we had a little falling out, and I decided I'm going to open my own. And I went and did just that. I've been doing that ever since, doing hair restoration. Now I have 4 offices.
Were you ever afraid of any malpractice suits?
No, that never scared me, because everything I always did, I did it perfectly. I made sure that everything I did was legitimate and high quality. And I still have to this day a good reputation. People still call me for construction work, and that's 30 years ago. You know, and as far as changing careers, I was never afraid to change careers, because after learning that I could make a living on my own without having a boss, by just starting out knocking on doors, I just applied that technique. Now, if you want to succeed in life, you have to take big chances, not little ones, big chance, and you cannot be afraid to fail. You don't think about failing. You start out to win. When things get really difficult and they start getting scary, that's when you really prove to yourself how good you are, how strong you are, and how smart you are. And nobody that I know that is successful has not failed at least 6 times before they became successful. I don't know a single person that's successful that hasn't had a whole bunch of failures.
He had been supporting his family since he was about 10, and his first business enterprise was a shoeshine kit. He would go out on the weekends and make as much money as his mother did for the rest of the week.
Now, that was a good learning experience. I had to be responsible. I had to be there, and no matter what the weather, freezing cold, snow, rain, blazing hot heat, whatever, I had to be there every weekend. Everything I did, I had to gain the respect of my competition, and you do that through studying. I never did anything or accomplished anything without studying. The only thing I really didn't have to study for was to be a painter. I just was taught by someone who was an expert, but everything after that, I was always in the library, always reading. And I've even designed and built some of the instruments that we use in the office that are proprietary. I don't share it with anyone else. We just use them at Capri Clinic. Design an instrument to lay out patterns and sizing. So, you know, I guess I'm just, you know, it's just a natural, you know, God made me smart.
For a man that seems like he could thrive in any area of expertise, he hopped around quite a bit. But he knew when the right time was to quit jobs. He stopped before he could watch himself go broke.
So, you know, I got out of it because of economic reasons. Every time I made a change, it was for economic benefit, for no other reason. It was so that I would survive and I could keep up the quality of life that I am used to. And you know I like nice things. And I don't deprive myself of any of them.
Of all the things you've done, which one's your favorite?
My favorite is hair transplants. And the reason being is that not only is it a good business financially, it's a tremendously rewarding business emotionally, because people who have hair loss, especially women, are devastated. In spite of what men say, I don't care if I'm losing my hair, that's a lie. They all hate losing their hair. And some much more than others. When we do hair transplants on them and we put their hair back, and it changes their whole life. Their personality changes. Everything changes. Everything goes up. Up. Their self-confidence. Everything goes up through the roof. And for me, that is a tremendous reward.
Would you say that you're, you know, content with where you're at right now?
Yeah, I'm content, but I'm never satisfied. That's the situation. I am content. Very content. There was a period where I wasn't content, and I wasn't happy, and you saw it. And I was mentally struggling to figure out a way to make my hair transplant practice thrive. And I do that all alone. I've never had any help. Nobody's ever loaned me any money. I've had to do it all on my own, finance every single one of these projects. And I was depressed after being so successful for 8.5 years and then having to start over from scratch to open my own. I was worried. I was really worried. But in me, the word quit does not exist. I will not quit. So by doing that, I took zero and turned it into a million. You know, so. And I am content, but I'm not satisfied. I would like things to be better. I would like my people to make more money, because the better I do, I take better care of them. As I finally meet my end, I won't be scared. I won't defend the things I've done. I don't need him like you do. I don't fear him like you do. As the world revolves, the sun and all the light that I become can slip for one. He is content. The story has a pretty happy ending if you choose to take it that way. In his words, he can do anything if he puts his mind to it, except fly a plane. He can handle a hot air balloon, though. And if he had to become a hot air balloon pilot to support his family, he would've. Thank you.